Hello, and did you guys hear that? Hold on. I let out a big breath in the beginning of the episode and I thought that it recorded and it did not. So, oh, and I just took another deep breath. Welcome back to When the Kids Go Down. Every time that a brand has reached out to me and has said something about it's always something about being relatable, or anyone has reached out and said something about me being relatable or having relatable content. It always feels a little, I know it's not intended to, but it does feel a little bit like a jab. Like, I don't know, because I don't feel like I'm trying to be relatable. And so it just feels like a little bit of like, we're so happy that you feel so comfortable being yourself. It's almost like I read it as a, we're so happy that you are unafraid to be so embarrassing. Good for you. If the energy is feeling a little down, it's not the caffeine. I've had about half a cup of my mocha pot coffee already. It's me. I am trying. I'm trying and failing. I'm just a little tired, and a little just, we are working through this. And everything is okay. My spirits are a little low right now, but I don't. The episode will cheer me up. So let's just get into it. I'm going to start off with a sermon. I'm just kidding. I'm starting off with my May TBR. Yeah, you can't have it though. I realize that I keep referencing this May TBR list that I have, but I just looked on the top of the list and there's a list of podcast notes that said books I read this week, which is May as well. So I just don't think that I was adding that to my May TBR because I had already read it, but it's part of my TBR for May. So I don't think that a whole list was complete that I've been citing. I do, however, religiously update my Goodreads shelf when I'm done reading a book, or like when I'm actively picking up a book to read. As sometimes I don't always get to like the percentages of where I'm at, but I do always update like if I'm reading it and if I'm done reading it. So I have my list of what I have on Goodreads, and what I'm currently reading, and will most likely, since this is the last week of May, be finishing in May. And what I think that every book I'm reading right now, I will be finished by the end of May. That being said, I do also have The Artist Way on there, and I'm just reading that like, don't know, casually. So it's not like a book that I think you're honestly supposed to read it week by week, but I'm like a week behind. I haven't been keeping up with my artist dates, and I haven't been keeping up with my morning pages. So from what I've read on this month, we have, let's see, Great Big Beautiful Life was a new release by Emily Henry, and I finished that. False Witness by Karen Slaughter. Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt. The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes by Suzanne Collins. I technically did finish Onyx Storm this month, but I did start it like in April. All Systems Red, The Murderbot Diaries, number one, or part one, number one, by Martha Wells. People We Meet on Vacation by Emily Henry. Sunrise on the Reapening, I just finished, by Suzanne Collins. And I'm currently reading Beautiful World, Where Are You? By Sally Rooney. I'm also still reading Piranesi by Susanna Clark, sorry. I just have been heavily annotating it, and so I just have not finished it. I'm also having like some attention issues because of some weight I have on my mind right now. That it's funny, every time I go through something mentally tough, my first instinct is to meditate, and I haven't done that yet. And so I just need, and it's so funny because when I don't meditate, then I'm suddenly trying to find a million things to do at once. So I'm like, okay, well, I have this game that I play every night on my phone, and so I like open up my game to play and check if my life is refilled, and then I start reading a few chapters, and then I'm like, I'm hungry, I'm gonna get a snack. Then I'm like, oh, I've been having some wine lately. And so I'm like, I'm going to go have a glass of wine. And then I'm like, it's raining outside. I'm going to go outside and look at the rain. And then I'm like reading my book. And then I need to take a picture of my book. There's like so, like a little task. And then I'll find something on the ground. I'll pick it up. And then I'm like, oh, I should make, prep this for tomorrow. I don't know. I just have like a million things that don't need to be done. And it's funny because it's like a different, there's like a million different types of relaxation. Like I'm trying to relax by playing my game on my phone. I'm trying to relax by looking at the rain. I'm trying to relax by read. I'm trying to relax by read by having a glass of wine. I'm trying all these ways to relax all at once, but I'm just like rummaging through all of them, trying to find the quickest relief and trying to do all of them at the same time. And then I'm like, oh, I should order some tea. Oh, I need a face mask. So here I am listening to the rain, looking for face masks and tea when I truly believe that the best form of relaxation is absolutely free. I just have to sit in the rain and listen to my breath. Maybe this is what the brands mean when they say that I'm relatable. Any hoot? Let's get back to the books that we're talking about. So, and yes, I did say hoot like a fucking owl. I had when the moon hatched, I didn't DNF it. I just ran out of time because I checked it out at the same time that I checked out a bunch of other books. One being the people we meet on vacation in fucking French, and so I had to return it. And then I did it on Hoopla, so you only have like a certain amount of available checkouts, and that was one of them that I used up, so I couldn't like recheck out the book that I didn't finish. I also didn't finish Hungerstone because I checked it out at the same time. And these, I didn't realize how long When the Moon Hatched. I believe it was said it was like 20 hours. So I didn't get to finish When the Moon Hatched or Hungerstone. Also, I technically DNF'd the Scorch Trials, which was the second installment of the Maze Runner series, but I will pick it back up. It's such a quick and easy read, and one of like, I'm truly interested. I love his writing style. I have other things. I'm a mood reader to my core, so I have other things that I've been wanting to read. I reshelved Red Rising for now because I do want to get my own copy and leave the one we have to on our shelf to my husband. Intermezzo, I said was a maybe, and I've actually replaced it with the other one I just said. Beautiful World, Where Are You? I believe. I don't even know if I said this, but I'm also reading John Green's Everything is Tuberculosis. Is it Everything is Tuberculosis or Everything is Tuberculosis? The is it like the history or something? The history and persistence of our deadliest infection. So I'm reading that, and I will say that I think it's what I. It's so easy, not easy. It's interesting. Sorry, it's so interesting and. It's kind of what I needed because this is a different, like, it's a different type of John Green book because it's like, nonfiction and informative, as opposed to like a YA romance. But I love John Green's voice. I grew up listening to him and watching him on YouTube, and so it's just comforting, and it's also like meeting me where I'm at right now and what I need. And so it's just very, it's like a dad, it's like a dad figure that I kind of grabbed, meditated to as a younger child. What am I saying? He's my dad. Now, there are two books that I want to talk about that are coming out soon. One of them being Tourist Season by Brynn Weaver, and the other being, oh, I just forgot something. I just literally saw the cover and posted it today because we're doing a late recording. BK, is it BK Borison? Borison? The same author as First Time Caller. Oh, and now back to you. So this one is like, I am so excited, you guys. This one is a news thing. Let me actually read the descriptions of both of these. So, and now back to you is going to be a romance and, Tourist Season is a dark romance. So let me go into what I have right now. So, okay, let's go to BK Borison's. BK. Actually, Brynn Weaver popped up first. So we'll go to Brynn Weaver. I just have to go into her. Thank you for bearing with me here on a live TV. Just kidding. Okay. It's not out until Of the fall time, I think September, but I think it takes place in summer based on what I was reading. Hello, I want to read more about the book. Thank you. Give me 1 second. All right, I found it. Welcome to Cape Carnage. Visit once, stay forever. You can hide in the farthest reaches of the deepest hell. Let me read that again. You can hide in the farthest reaches of the deepest hell, and I will still drag you out. Even the devil can't save you from me. Cape Carnage is a seaside town of colorful houses, quirky shops, and an unusually high body count. But with. Sorry. Oh my God. Do I have to cut out my just nose sniffles? This is the stuff that you don't really pay attention to until you're recording a podcast all the time. And suddenly you're aware of when people interrupt and there's nose sniffling and sneezing or whatever. Or words like whatever being used a lot and the long ands. Also, anyways, instead of anyway. Okay, let's get back into this. Sorry. No sniffle. Fuck. Okay. But with tourist season comes trouble, and Harper Starling won't let, oh, Starling won't let anyone ruin her picture perfect home. A skilled gardener with killer instincts, Harper protects her sanctuary at any cost, especially for her aging mentor with a fading memory. Troublesome tourists don't check out the carnage. Wait. Troublesome tourists don't check out of Carnage. They compost beneath Harper's award-winning flower beds. But Nolan Rhodes isn't your average tourist. Devilishly handsome, disarmingly charming. Oh, I lost my spot. And skilled with a blade, Nolan is relentless in the pursuit of revenge. On every anniversary of the hit-and-run accident that fractured his life, Nolan slays another target. As he saved the best for last, the undeniably beautiful Harper Starling. The problem, Harper isn't the monster he expected, and she won't go down without a fight. When an amateur true crime investigator comes to Cape Carnage on the trail for a long-lost serial killer, Harper and Nolan strike an uneasy truce. If Nolan helps Harper protect her town, she'll keep quiet about his hunting habits for now. But their alliance soon spirals into obsession, one that threatens to shatter every secret in Carnage, including their fragile love. Okay, sick. Like I said, I feel like, oh, it says tour season is a darkly funny, slow burn, enemies to lovers romance where destruction and desire balanced on the edge of a blade, and where love is the most dangerous battleground of all. I really like Bryn Weaver, sorry, Bweevil, and her books. So I'm looking forward to that one. And then let's get into the edit that. Oh shit, when does that come out? Fuck. Let me see. I know that right now there's still a pre-order and you can get a pre-order with a hat. I never wear hats. And I don't know. Maybe if it was like, no, it's a cool design. But maybe if it was even cooler, I would pre-order it and give the hat to my husband because he's a hat dude. Offer open till June 15th for okay, but when does it come out? By oh, you know what? Okay, hold on. Sorry. Let me interrupt myself. September 25th. Okay, so it comes out September 25th. I want to say that I ordered a UK copy of Remarkably Bright Creatures, and the very first page is torn, and I was like, that's cool. But also my favorite book on my shelf right now is like torn cover to cover because I've had it for a million years and I've read it a million times, which is The Catcher in the Rye. So I guess I really can't complain too much. I just really liked the UK cover and wanted one of those. I also, now that I have it in person, think I like the American cover better. And perhaps I will have both because why not have multiple copies of one book? Okay, so now I'm going to read from And Now Back to You's bio from BK Borison's like post. Also, I'm just so excited about this whole media like trilogy that's happening. You know, being a broadcast graduate, I have a soft spot for it in my heart. Just kidding, I literally took fucking broadcast in high school for a year. But this is book two in the Heartstrings series. Okay, so two opposites are forced to work together to cover a snowstorm, only to discover there might be a little something something under all those arguments about parking spaces. And Now Back to You releases February 24th, 2026. Very cool. Very excited. as you can tell. No, I am very excited. Oh, cool. Can you say that again? I didn't catch it. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's play a little psychology game. This is one that I'm sure you may have heard of. This is quite popular. If you're listening, you can play along. So it's, what's your favorite animal color and happy place? What's your favorite animal color and happy places about you? So if you're listening right now, feel free to play along. You can answer out loud in your head or jot down your answers. But don't think too much about it. Just first that comes to mind, a little bit why, and then you're done. Okay, so step one would be, what is your favorite animal and why? Again, don't overthink it. Just the first animal that comes to your mind. And a quick reason why you love it. Got it? Okay. Two, what is your favorite color and why? Again, don't analyze, say a color, what you love about it. Step three, your happy place. So what does your happy place, where is it? What does it look like, sound like, and smell like? And how do you feel when you're there? It could be a real place or a place that you've imagined. So I'll give you a second to picture it, unless you have that weird defect where you can't picture things. Again, we're talking about your happy place. How does it feel, sound, look? Where is it? Is it real or imaginary? Okay, if you have everything in your head or written down, whatever, here is the answer, reveal, whatever. So take it with a grain of salt, but it makes you think. So your favorite animal is how you see yourself. So if you said cat, you could be, they're independent, and it might be how you view your own personality. I'll get into like the most common answers in a little bit. Your favorite color, so that is how you see, how others people see you. So if you said yellow because it's bright and joyful, maybe that's how you, your friends experience you. And your happy place. So that represents what you truly want for your life and what you want your life to feel like. So if you described a beach or a sunset with warm air or no noise, maybe you're craving some peace, space, and some simplicity. All right, so I'm going to give my answers, but I'm not like trying to paint a picture of myself here. I'm just going by what Google has told me, okay? So my favorite animal is a polar bear. So the animal is how you see yourself. Polar bears are polar bears are powerful, independent, and deeply resilient animals. Hi, baby. They thrive in extreme conditions and maintain a quiet strength. They are solitary, but also nurturing, especially the moms who are fiercely protective. Your self-perception might include strength through adversity, the ability to stand alone when needed, a calm presence that still commands respect, maybe even softness under the surface that not everyone sees. My jelly rolls. sorry. Polar bears are also beautiful. They are rare and a certain majestic quality to them. If this is your favorite animal, you may value diligent. Okay. May value dignity, depth, and grounded confidence. Well, I would say I value dignity, but I'm not always quite dignit. So my favorite color, your color would be how others see you. I have a very specific kind of blue. It's like honestly like a Lysol blue, like kind of clear and bright. Maybe even like a little shimmery. Like I do love when glitter is added into things, but just a tad, just a little bit. So I could be seen as clear-headed, practical, refreshing, calming, and specifically a calm to chaos with like the tone of it and the glitter. This is just what Google said. A bit extra in the way that I see things. Maybe like some higher standards of the shimmer would represent or imply. Oh my goodness. So my happy place is actually somewhere that I haven't traveled, but have always kept pictures of. So it's like Norwegian woods and fjords. I have to burp. Okay. So it could mean, oh, it means, what it means is what I want for my life or what I want my life to feel like. So let's see, scenery richness and emotional intention. So calming waters and crisp air. I kind of went detailed into it. Emotional clarity and mental space. Tall, beautiful trees, all rootedness, growth. Okay. Expansive spaces, freedom, breathing room, fresh scent, a little rainy and dewy is what I said. A desire for gentle refreshment, not overwhelming stimulation. So I could crave a life that feels peaceful but alive, deeply grounded, yet open, nourishing, still a little romantic, a touch of wild, but in a controlled way. Oh, perfect. Calm in the chaos. That's what I always say. All right, so now let's get into some like common animals and colors. Well, I mean, I'm saying common, but I don't mean like these are like the common answers. I'm just saying like other types of animals and colors and maybe like type of location examples, and we'll see how they match up with how you feel, and maybe that some of them are answers that you answered. Sorry to scream that. Okay. Favorite animal. So we have dog, loyal, friendly, dependable. Cat, independent, intuitive, selective. Elephant, wise, empathetic, and strong. Wolf, fierce, protective, and pack-oriented. Bird, free-spirited, observant, curious. Dolphin, playful, intelligent, social. Tiger, powerful, focused, a little wild. Horse, strong, graceful, freedom-loving. Owl, thoughtful, introspective, mysterious. Fox, clever, strategic, and adaptable. All right, so let's move on to favorite color and how others see you. So blue, calm, reliable, trustworthy. Red, bold, passionate, energetic. Green, grounded, balanced, nurturing. Yellow, joyful, optimistic, fun. Purple, creative, spiritual, deep. Black, mysterious, elegant, serious. White, pure, clean, simple. Pink, sweet, playful, warm. Orange, vibrant, adventurous, outgoing. Gray, cool, neutral, wise. So these are just like very simple very simple descriptors. You could obviously like get a little more detailed and Google some more stuff. Okay, so happy place, what you want your life to feel like. So a beach at sunset could be seen as playful, romantic, emotionally open. Forest or woods, grounded, serene, connected to nature. A cabin in the mountains, solitary, cozy, safe, introspective. Or maybe a big city at night, energized, inspired, thriving, and connected, and maybe a little bit chaotic. So, oh, I also have, sorry, another one on this list. Give me 1 second. Okay, because I have a lot of book friends, library or bookstore, knowledge, comfort, escape, and a life of learning, reflection, quiet passion, lakeside dock, tranquility, openness, seeking calm, stillness, and emotional space, garden or meadow, beautiful, simplicity, peace craving, slow living, and gentle joy, an old European village, romance, history, meaning, a desire for charm, culture, and depth, or maybe space, like outer space. So escape, curiosity, expansion, and like wanderlust. If you're listening on Spotify, you can enter in the comments like your answers so that we can all communicate and see each other's answers on these quizzes. All right. So that's all I'm doing for today, because I need to recharge my brain and fuel my tank on life. I need to recharge. I hope you have an amazing week. I hope I didn't leave anything out. I will soon regain my mental clarity and everything will be back to normal. Actually, it'll be more than normal. It'll be thriving. We're going to be great. Okay. I love you and I'll see you back next week. Goodbye.